Wouldn't it be great if we could just take a break from the news? Maybe in the next coronavirus briefing, officials could break into song. In the next political debate, a chorus line. That's what would happen if life was like the new NBC show Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, where Zoe, a computer coder in a high-rolling tech firm, has an accident in an MRI machine, hey, it could happen, and starts seeing everyone's thoughts in song. Workers moving like zombies through the streets suddenly erupt. And then there's Zoe's neighbor, the gender-fluid, always positive Mo, played by Alex Newell. Zoe hears his inner thoughts and realizes all is not what it seems.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that I'm doing well.
Even Zoe's dad, Mitch, who has a mysterious neurological condition that has left him mute, will have his musical say. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist had a unique launch. NBC streamed the first episode back in January, then had its broadcast debut a month later on Sunday nights. Joining us, the show's creator, Austin Winsberg. Welcome.
Hi.
And Jane Levy, who stars as Zoe. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to talk to you. I know this is a lot of work to do this many musical performances within a show, but how much fun is this?
It is so much fun. I don't know about you, but I have never heard anybody talk about their experience after dancing really hard and saying it was not fun.
Right.
It's a very different set than a normal set. You look around and the ADs are dancing behind the monitors and the sound guys are bopping up and down. Like, it's fun.
It is so much fun to watch. But Austin, it comes from a painful place. And I just want to stay there for a second because, as I mentioned, Jane's character, Zoe's father, played by Peter Gallagher, has a terrible neurological disorder. He sits mute most of the time. Your father also had a neurological condition?
Correct. Yes, he had something called progressive supranuclear palsy, which we actually name in the second episode of the show. Hmm. And he had this debilitating neurological progressive disease where he, in the matter of less than a year, he went from being this very dynamic, vibrant, social 67-year-old man to a man who was basically imprisoned in his body. And the only thing that he could move was his right arm and his finger and blink. And we knew that he was still processing stuff. We just didn't know how much he was processing. And sometimes it was hard to tell how much of him was there.
Is this kind of wishful thinking on your part? What would have happened if he could have burst into song?
Yes, 100%. That time when my dad was dying, I was becoming a father while losing my dad. And it was such a dramatic, tension-filled, emotional time in my family. And I always liked to draw from my own experiences for my writing. And I knew at some point I wanted to write about what that was. And it was just about getting enough distance from it and trying to figure out what that could be. And one day I just had this idea in my head that what if the way my dad saw the world during that time was through big musical numbers? Mm-hmm. And instead of that being sad and depressing, it actually gave me some sort of feeling of joy and hope. And to be able to connect with my dad in that way felt uplifting to me. So absolutely, a big component of this is the wish fulfillment and the what if and what it would be like to actually know what he was thinking and feeling during that time.
Well, you know, amidst all the wackiness of some of the scenes that come from people bursting into song, there are many poignant moments. And one is when Mitch, again played by Peter Gallagher, who is Jane's character Zoe's father, when he does get up and start singing a version of Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. Let's listen.
In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all, and the darkness inside you can make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you.
So, Austin, that means so much more. It was poignant in the moment, but it means so much more knowing that that would have been your hope for your dad.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, for him to communicate and for him to be a guiding light for me during that time and give me guidance. And I think that's how he functions for Zoe during this time.
Yeah.
I think what is so poignant about that scene and about Austin writing from such a personal place is that it becomes so universal. Like, we as humans all know what yearning for parental love feels like, or yearning for our parents to see us, you know? I think watching that scene is so cathartic in that way. I've heard from so many people on the internet and people in my own life about how much that scene affected them, because Austin writes from such a beautiful personal place, it becomes personal for all of us.
Well, you're not just listening. You're not just an observer. There's one scene, I think it's a dream sequence, when you lead the entire office out into the streets while you sing and dance to I Got the Music in Me. Let's just listen to a little of that. Again, a scene from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. But Austin Winsberg, more
yes.
Jane Levy singing and dancing, please.
Well, funny that you should say that. we actually have an episode of the show coming up where, do we tell this?
I think we tell.
Oh,
I
tell.
Mean, where Jane sings and dances every single song in the episode. And Jane is such, I mean, just to talk about Jane for 5 seconds and embarrass her, Jane tells so much in her face, and she's a master of a million emotions, and you understand them just by looking at her. And so she really does become this amazing conduit, an emotional conduit, where you just understand what she is feeling anytime she sees one of these songs. And then in episode 8 that's coming up, I mean, Jane went to musical boot camp, and we didn't have much time to do it, and she just... It's such a tour de force. It's amazing.
Well, but there's a genre here that you're tapping into, and I'm assuming you're both going to be way too young to even remember the 1990 TV show Cop Rock. Play it tough, but play it straight, and let's
be careful out there. I know it.
Well, Steve Bochco, the late, great Stephen Bochco, and director Greg Hoblit, and full disclosure, a couple of my siblings would be in and out of the show, so I do... have an affection for it, but it was panned. What do you think about the history of this genre? Austin, you start.
My musical philosophy and my TV musical philosophy is, as long as the music is justified, as long as you understand why the people are singing, I think Cop Rock, a show I didn't know very well, but maybe I saw an episode or two of back in the day, it was mixing genres. It was trying to do a cop show and a musical show at the same time, and I think those genres maybe were fighting each other.
Yeah. Well, because I loved Cop Rock, I wanted you to say, you know, Cop Rock should have been given more props.
Okay, well, let me say this. Having not seen enough Cop Rock, I think it was ahead of its time.
There.
And I do think that a musical show, there's a lot of challenges doing a musical every week on television, but if you can figure out a way to do it where it connects with an audience, I think music connects with audiences in a way that nothing else can, and I think that music is also universal. So as challenging and as bumpy as the road to musical shows on network TV have been in the past, I do think that when it does work, it can get the audience to relate on a much deeper emotional level than sometimes just dialogue or scene work can. And that's why I'm always drawn to musicals, is the different emotions it can bring out in people in the audience. Yeah.
Well, and that's something that Glee, the phenomenally successful show, discovered. Let's hear a little more of your show, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. This is a scene in which Zoe's best friend at work, Max, played by Skylar Astin, suddenly bursts out into I Think I Love You, so she has to see his innermost thought right in the middle of the workplace. Let's listen. This is a big roll of the dice by NBC. As we said, they had this marketing effort to get to younger people through streaming, and did get to millions of them before they actually debuted on broadcast TV. It's on your shoulders, and they are tiny, petite shoulders. how stressful? I mean, you know, I don't want to add to it, but how stressful is that?
Really, extremely so stressful.
Yeah.
I am someone who has very high standards for myself and puts a lot of pressure on myself to begin with. So then when real pressure is put on you, it's hard, but I'm learning and I feel really grateful. It's rare as an actor that you get a job. Well, one, it's rare to get a job. And then it's rare to get a job that just speaks so closely to your humor, your sentiments, your taste. And, like, I just feel this job is so special. And I feel like it was meant for me. And so I'm going to work as hard as I can to uphold this young woman.
And I feel a responsibility to Jane, because I feel like Jane and I both have very high bars and very high standards. And I feel like in the writing of Zoe, it maybe started off as like a version of me, and now it's morphed into some version of Austin and Jane. And I know what Jane can do, and so I'm always trying to challenge me and challenge her to go even further with it.
Yeah. As you, again, you pay tribute to your late dad.
Yeah.
That's Austin Winsberg, creator of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. We've also been speaking with Jane Levy, the star. It airs Sunday nights on NBC. Thank you both, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's Here Now.